Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
The psychology of backsliding. The psychology of backsliding. Psychology is spelled P-S-Y-C-H-O-L-O-G-Y. P-S-Y-C-H-O-L-O-G-Y. The psychology of backsliding. Psychology has to do with the study of people's thought, people's feeling, people's thinking. So when you hear psychology, we're talking about the psyche, the human's mind. What are the possible things that are going on in somebody's mind? So that's why when somebody's going through depression, he needs the attention of the psychologist, who can move you out of depression by giving you words of encouragement. When you are down, a psychologist come around to talk to you and make you pick up interest again. So we want to look at the thinking. What could be going through the mind of those who are backsliding? The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Pay attention to your heart. You know, everything about a man takes place in his heart. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees who accused the disciples of Jesus of not washing their hands before eating. He said they are supposed to wash their hands before eating. Of course, it was the culture of the Jews to have their hands washed before eating anything, whether swallow or rice or fruit. But on this particular occasion, those guys were just very hungry and they wouldn't wait for formalities. So they got the food and began eating without washing their hands. And of course, you will always have the Jews and the Pharisees who were always watching out for mistakes, so that they could use that against Jesus or his disciples. So they pounced on it, came to Jesus and said, if you really say that you are of God, there are things that has been commanded for Jews to do, certain observations that we don't play with. Your disciples are eating without washing their hands. And then Jesus said to them, it is not what enters the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So every man's word is a picture of what is in his heart. If your heart is not hot, your mouth will not speak foul language. That's why the heart is very important to God. You can appear good before men, but God checks the heart. It is the content of a man's heart that makes him dirty or clean before God. And the action of every man is predicated on his thoughts. How you think is likely going to be how you behave. How you think is likely going to be how you behave. And that's why Jesus said that a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. It's not possible. So a heart that is indicting a good matter, a heart that is meditating good things, will not always say bad things. It comes out of the abundance of the heart. It is only when the heart is full that the mouth begins to release it. So the mouth is just like a channel that empties the heart. And so that's why when Job was very depressed and sorrowful, he was speaking. And one of his friends said, allow him to talk. Let him say virtually everything that is in his mind so that his spirit can be relieved. Amen. If someone loses a dear one, the common thing he would do is to cry. And you discover or notice that if you go tell him sorry that time, the more you are telling him sorry, the more he's crying. So you just let him cry. So now my skill is, if you lose somebody and you are crying, I say, cry as much as you want to cry. So we can just give you some time to cry yourself out. And then when you are through, you don't need anybody to tell you sorry and you will stop crying. Praise God. Because when the heart is heavy, it takes the mouth to pour it out. And so that's why God wants us to be very careful with our heart. Because our mouth does not produce its own content. Our mouth only delivers the content of the heart. That's why it is not safe at all for anybody to speak during anger. Not safe. Because whatever you are going to say during anger cannot be good. There must be things that you regret. So rather than speak, you keep quiet. So we're going to be considering the thinking pattern, the things that goes on in the heart of those who backslide. The psychology of backsliding deals with the way of backsliders. It deals with their thinking. It deals with their attitude. What's their attitude? Backsliding is one of the issues of life. It comes from the heart. No man decides to take two steps backward without thinking about it. Jesus said, is there anyone that wants to go for war without first sitting down to think about the cost of the war? Is there anyone that wants to build a tower without first sitting down to think, to plan, to consider what the cost will be, whether he will be able to finish it, or he will start and not able to finish it, and then passers-by will look at the abandoned work and mock at the man who started it, saying, this fellow started building and is not able to complete it. A thought in the heart becomes an attitude. If you keep a thought in your heart for a long time, it will become an attitude. It will become a character. That's why there is no harmless thought. You say, I was just going through some harmless thought. Everything you think can affect you one way or the other, positively or negatively. If you think sin, you are going to commit sin. If you think righteousness, you are going to be righteous. If you think success, you are definitely going to succeed. If you think failure, you are going to fail. I read that the man who invented electricity failed 99 times. And then when he granted an interview, and they said to him, you have failed 99 times. He said, no, I didn't fail 99 times. I only discovered how not to do it for 99 times. That's a thought. And they said, if you give two persons a glass of water half filled and ask them to state the observation, one is going to say the glass is half empty. Another one will say the glass is half full. Praise God. The both words mean the same thing, but in terms of their psychology, it doesn't mean the same thing. The man who believes the glass is half full believes that if he does a little, it will be full. The man who says it's half empty believes that there's nothing more to do. Praise God. So it's about what you think. So a thought in your heart will become an attitude, and an attitude becomes an action. Let me say that again. A thought in the heart will become an attitude, and an attitude will become an action. So when you keep the thought, it takes you over. That's why when Jesus came, in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17, he said, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy them, but I've come to fulfill them. And he said, it is written in your laws that if a man sleeps with a woman who is not his wife, he commits adultery. And if a man sleeps with a woman who they have not married together, he's committed fornication. Jesus said, but I say to you today, that if a man lusts after a woman, or if a man looks at a woman lustfully in his heart, he has already committed the act with her. And they say, what is this man talking about? That's an upgrade of what is written. Praise God. Because there are so many persons that are clean in their actions, but they are very dirty in their thoughts. Your actions are always okay, but the thoughts are very, very bad. So you find a way of acting opposite what you are thinking. And so whatever you are doing does not carry weight. Praise God. That's why there are things you cannot pretend about. You can't pretend to be a Christian. It won't last. You can't act it. So when a thought stays in the heart for a time, it becomes an attitude. And then the attitude will become an action. And these actions become behaviors pattern. Your actions now will become a behavioral pattern. You begin to behave like that. It becomes a pattern of your life. So that you get to that point where people will say, we know him, this is what he's going to do. We know him is a latecomer. And you are a latecomer, an incurable one for that. Even when you live close to school, you still arrive late. You live at the backyard of church, you still come late. It's just an incurable latecomer. It has become a pattern. They say, we know her, we know him. He's a talkative. He speaks about what he sees, what he knows, what he doesn't know, what he's thinking, what he thinks others are thinking. So, when a thought stays in the heart, it becomes an attitude will become an action, and an action will become a pattern. So, we are going to consider some attitudes that form in the heart of a backslider. It is this attitude that gives him the false confidence in his backsliding state. It is this attitude, this thinking, that makes him believe, well, I'm not alone in this. This cannot be it. Number one, I am not alone. Others are backsliding too. That's a possible thinking of a backslider. I am not alone. Others are backsliding. A sister told me recently how she accosted a husband. What is it that you cannot stay without cheating? You will always look for a woman answer. Are you not a Christian? And then the husband looked at her and said to her, there is no man that doesn't cheat. That's a man that does not want to change. And it has become a pattern. It's his attitude. It's in his heart. So he doesn't believe he has a problem. No, he doesn't believe he has a problem. So, one of the thinking of a backslider is, I am not alone. Others are also backsliding too. In fact, some people will callously say, hellfire will be fun. I'm not going to be alone. Praise God. Provided there's going to be a crowd. When we share the heat, it will reduce. Without thinking that even in this world that we are, if you put an air conditioner in a room and 20 persons enter that room, you soon discover that the house will become hot. Praise God. I'm not alone in it. I'm not the only womanizer in town. If you cannot tolerate it, you go. I'm not the only thief around. I'm not the only liar. Praise God. That's a thinking that will not allow you to take the right step. I'm not in it alone. Other persons are also doing. You know, sometimes what gives people false confidence and false encouragement is when you have done something bad and then your heart is pricking you, then the devil shows up and begins to tell you, you are not alone. Even the King Peter did that 2 weeks ago. And so before you know it, you just soft pedal on yourself. You are no longer hard on yourself.
You no longer place a demand on yourself. Praise God. Because something is telling you that, well, others are also doing it. But if you know God enough, you'll be able to say, others may, but I cannot. Many times what people do is to find out who else is in a condition similar to theirs. And when we get involved in something, we also try to take others with us, like drowning men. So many times people want to find out who else is in your own condition, so that you can have a safe association. I say, okay, I know this, I know this, I know that. All of them are doing the same thing. So you are likely going to tilt towards them. Unconsciously, you are forming an association of sinning brethren. Praise God. And that's why when you find five persons who are friends and all of them are practicing the same thing, they have the same character, they will hardly change. You have five friends, all of them are humanizing. And all of you are married. Nobody is talking to each other. You can't even dare say it. I say, look at pot calling kettle black. So there's no change. And if you are in such a cycle, you need to run away, because you are not going to change. Nothing is going to prick your heart. Nothing is going to talk to your conscience. And there are others who also want to take others alongside with them, like the devil. He said to God in Isaiah, he said, you have sent me down, but I'm not going to be there alone. I must ensure that people enjoy this darkness with me. So there are people, as soon as they backslide, they also want friends. They want to speak to you about it. Did you just hear what Pastor said in church last week? He said people should bring 5,000. Me, I've made up my mind, I'm not going to bring. Now he wants to find out what is the thinking, the plan of the other person. The other person said, well, me, I would have loved to bring, but I just have some financial challenges now. And then he said, wow, financial challenges, that's why me, I'm not bringing. And before you know, he gets one. And that's the tactics of the devil. Friend finding friend. No, but the Bible says every man shall bear his own burden. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. So I'd like you to know it, that every man shall bear his own burden. Don't allow a man who is going back to carry you back. For each one should carry his own load. I like the way NIV put it. Praise God. So understand that this journey is an individual journey. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, it will not be husband and wife. To be husband, stand alone. Wife, stand alone. And children who are of age, stand alone. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So, you will have an opportunity. Somebody will give you an opportunity to sin. Somebody will give you an opportunity to do the things that you have been wanting to avoid. And God said, if sinners entice you. To entice is to persuade you. Persuade you with sweet words. He said, do not consent. So understand that every man will bear his own burden. Don't say, well, because my friend has backslided, what am I still doing? He preached to me. He talked to me about Christ. So, if he has gone back, who am I? If a pastor has fallen, who am I? Because there are some that say, well, I know a pastor who is living in fornication and his church is still big. So if a pastor is doing it and God is still honoring him, I know that God will tolerate a member better than a pastor. And he's so encouraged. Every man shall bear his own burden. You may take confidence in the fact that others seem to be doing as badly as you, but it is a false assurance. You know why? Because sometimes you don't know when that person will repent and you are still swimming. Can repent one day to his death and you are still swimming. Now, you can tell when people are trying to reassure themselves. You hear them say things like, nowadays, a lot of people do not go to church. That is a man that is planning to stop coming to church soon. He said, nowadays, we don't even need to go to church too much. Just once in a week or once in 2 weeks, something is going on in his mind. Praise God. These days, it's not about offering, offering, offering. He will soon stop giving offering. So you can tell when people are planning to backslide from some of the things they say. Some people will say, life is too short. I'm busy for regular church attendance. The devil is already taking a hold, and soon he will preach that full sermon of backsliding to you, and you'll become his first convert. You must learn not to say the things that people say. Some people will say, these days a lot of Christians drink a little beer with their food, provided they don't allow it to overtake you. Never be deceived by the existence of a crowd. You may think that everybody is sinning like you, but when Christ comes, you'll be very surprised to find people whom you thought would go to hell with you, passing you by on their way to heaven. Praise God. Never be deceived by the existence of a crowd. I say so many persons are doing it. We are together. Otherwise, when Jesus will return, you'll be surprised that when you're on your way to hell, you see some people you thought are going to hell with you, passing you by and telling you, see you. Don't be that type that depend on what others are doing. Let Christian living and righteous living be a personal thing for you. That I've made up my mind to be righteous. I've made up my mind to live like this. That has nothing to do with the person I'm seeing. There's so much deception in the world these days. All these people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be pastors, they are just deceiving others. I beg, let me live my life. And then you just lose your guards and say, well, no. You're hurting yourself. If somebody would have followed David the way he was living, I said, well, if David the king is behaving like this, who am I not to behave even more? Without knowing the attitude of David, that every time he misbehaves, he goes to God in private and he will confess all the sins he has committed and the one he's thinking to commit, and then we'll get mercy from God. And you are there just joining the queue and say, wow, David is doing it and let's enjoy. You get yourself deceived. Number two, the second psychology of a backslider is, I have a lot of time. Christ is not really coming soon. That's a thinking pattern of some others. I have a lot of time. Christ is not really coming soon. And there are some Christians that also believe in this philosophy. Ever since I was in primary school, I was told and I was hearing Jesus is coming soon. In 1986, I was in primary one. Between 86 and 96 is 10 years. 96 to 2006 is 20 years. To 2016 is 30 years. 2017 is 31 years. And so I've been hearing for 31 years. It's enough to convince me that he may not come. Praise God. But you don't have to think like that. Never think that, wow, I have enough time. You see, Jesus isn't going to come now. There was a time people were saying, well, the Bible said before Jesus shall return, the gospel must have gone through all the earth. Do you know how many nations we have in the world? And there are too many nations that the gospel have not gone through. You are deceiving yourself. You know, technology does not only help the devil, it also helps God. There are places that missionaries have not entered, but Bibles have entered. They are preaching on air, preaching on internet has entered. That's the gospel getting there. So you are not going to wait until the last missionary stepped on the last word and you say, yeah, now we can be ready for his coming. No. The gospel is spreading very wide and great speed. So don't be amongst those who are thinking like this. I have a lot of time. Christ is not really coming soon. Some Christians know that Christ's second coming is a reality, but they think that that won't happen very soon. Yeah, some of us will believe that, yeah, he's going to come. Yeah, he's going to come. But maybe in the next 50 years, in the next 70 years, and in the next 70 years, I would have been through with my schooling, married, raised all my children, and then getting older, and then I'll be prepared. Unfortunately, we don't know the time. That's the sad part. Jesus said to his disciples, "No man knoweth the time nor the hour when the Son of Man shall come." And that part of it is the part that should call for readiness and preparation every time. Some of us, we believe that it will come. But our problem is that the promise of his coming has stayed too long. So you are thinking, well, my father was single before they started saying this. Father got married, raised us, and now he got old and died. Probably I will also get married and then get older and then die. This may just be the last generation before Jesus returns. Praise God. The return of Jesus Christ is going to be a very unexpected event. It won't show signs in heaven. You won't see one archangel with the horse. And as I say, we have seen one archangel with the trumpet. That means anytime soon. No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety. Now take note of the word. When they shall say peace and safety. When everybody begins to relax and say it's not going to come again. You know, how many of us remember the year 2000? Millennium. Now, there was so much news about the year 2000. So 1999 December was a very red month for people. The consciousness of the second coming and of the rapture was everywhere. The fever was everywhere. Praise God. Are there those who were not born before 2000 here? Now, the fever of Jesus' return was everywhere. And so people are looking at the sky. If you wake up in the morning by 6:30 and the sky is still dark, you begin to look for your neighbors. Is everybody complete? Praise God. Because if somebody has disappeared, you just know that you're in trouble. The Bible says when people will say peace and safety, you know, after year 2000, the consciousness went down. I said, okay, we can go back to our normal duty. The rat race continues. And then everybody is busy. When they will say peace, there are no signs. It doesn't look like it's coming. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Noah preached and preached and said, in a short while from now, God will destroy this earth with water. Come and join me now. They mocked at him. You know the reason? They considered the foolishness of Noah and considered the science of a ship moving from a hilly ground. And they said, put two and two together. This is an impossibility. How long will it rain and the whole earth will be submerged? How long? No. We've never witnessed that kind of rain before. How long? But the Bible says God made rain to fall on the earth. 40 days, 40 nights, non-stop. God opened all the windows of heaven. And in 40 days, the earth became a sea. And everyone drowned. So God said, that's how it shall be. Sudden destruction. The men will begin to scamper for safety. Men will begin to look for who will preach to them. Men will begin to look for who will tell them, will you give your life to Jesus? Now that when altar call is made, people don't come out. That time people will look for who will tell me, just give your life to Jesus. Jesus could come this Friday. Praise God. He could come on Friday, yeah. I'm talking about this Friday now, not next week. Amen. He could come on Thursday. The whole world will be surprised when Jesus comes again. Many of us have taken God's grace period of repentance for granted. Indeed, to some people, this grace period means nothing. It has rather become more time to play. You may be planning to have your grand wedding, but it may never come on. Perhaps those who are in school may never complete their courses and graduate before Jesus returns. You know, in year 2000, some persons who had properties sold them and said, Jesus is going to return and this whole thing will be destroyed. I'll be a big loser then, so let me just sell it, enjoy the money. Some people had money in banks. I'm telling you the truth. Some people who had money in banks went and withdrew the money and did whatever they could before year 2000. But the truth is now in our very presence. The Bible says salvation is nearer to us than we first believe. It is clearer and clearer now. Then, things were not as it were. There was a time we never used to have violence in Nigeria, but it's happening. And it's not showing any sign of abating. And that's how it's happening everywhere. And one of the signs of the last days, the scripture said, nation shall rise up against nations. Country against country. And it's happening. It's getting complicated on a daily basis. The trumpet will suddenly sound, and those of us who are washed in the blood of the Lamb and ready for the Savior will be caught up in the clouds to be with Him forever. If you have not flown an aeroplane before, don't worry. Just get yourself prepared for rapture and you know what it means to fly without paying for a ticket. Amen. The trumpet of the Lord will sound suddenly. Are we going to hear the trumpet? I don't know. But those who are supposed to hear it will hear. And then there will be takeoff. This is the time that you have to buy your flight ticket. If you want to travel by air and you can sort out your ticket a month before the date of your trip, you're going to get it cheap than going to the airport to pay. You can go to the airport and pay that day, but it's going to be very expensive. But if you pay for your flight 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month before, 2 months before, you're going to get it cheap. So don't wait to pay for your ticket on the rapture day, because the Bible says some people will pay with their lives. Of course, there's going to be such a chance where God will give you a chance, an opportunity to save yourself. Now, it won't be the blood of Jesus saving you, it will be your blood. And the Bible said that not many will be able to secure themselves. Some people say, don't worry, I will endure it. They say, if you don't deny Christ, we'll remove your eye. You say, remove. It's easier said than done. Praise God. They may not even tell you, we'll remove your eyes. When they have kept you hungry for 7 days with beating, you change your confession. So don't wait until that time.
Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand upon the mountain, magnify His name, to tell all the people and every nation that He reigns. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise. Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise, to stand up upon the mountain and magnify His name, to tell all the people.